House of Dust and Dreams, written by Brenda Reed and read by Sean Thomas.
Where are your idle afternoons, your mornings bright with sunlight, your founts, your belfries in the dusk, your churches pale with moonlight? Where are your dove-white houses now, your soft winds and your waters, your happy throngs in summertime, your golden sons and daughters? One fiery moment burnt them all, when roofs and walls were riven, and whirled them flaming to the sky and through the gates of heaven. Let us live in peace together, in a second age of gold, in honour, freedom, fame and wisdom, like the famous Greeks of old. George Sikundakis, The Cretan Runner, translated by Patrick Lee Fermor. The Island of Crete, Greece, summer 1936. Heavenly. I first saw the old Orfanoudakis house on a warm, sunlit afternoon. The only sound, a lone bullfrog and the cicadas. The village around it was sleeping. It had taken a week to get to the island from Athens by seaplane, and then 5 hours up a narrow mountain track from the Sea of Crete below. This last stretch was in a donkey cart owned by a fisherman, Petros. Our companions were his mother, two of his 6 children, and a crate of squawking chickens. When Petros stopped in the village square, he pointed ahead to the house. Hugh's family house, a majestic structure dominating a row of tiny white houses, their windows like mouse holes. I raced up the steps of the wide street and stopped in front of it. It was dilapidated, certainly, but nothing that couldn't be fixed, I felt sure. I turned in delight to Hugh, but he was struggling with our luggage. The sunlight caught a flash of a silver coin in his hand, and there was much kissing and hugging and welcoming cries of «Kalos orisite!» from Petros and his family. I ran down, but my offers of help were waved aside by Hugh. "Come and see, it's beautiful!" I cried excitedly. He struggled under the weight of the baggage, his face red and sweating. "It's really old," I said, "and just how it used to be, I think, when your grandfather was here."
"Great-grandfather," he muttered, gasping for every breath.
I was hugging myself with delight and jumping up and down so hard my straw hat fell off and rolled down the street. And then he was beside me.
"Christ almighty, Evadne," he gasps. "We can't stay here. It's a ruin."
I looked at the shutters along the front terrace. I suppose they had no paint left, and they were hanging off rather precariously. But the front door, open on one hinge, looked welcoming to me, and there were crimson geraniums blooming happily in a large stone amphora on a second terrace above.
"Oh, Hugh, don't be such an old pessimist. A lick of paint, a nail or two, and it'll be fine."
Hugh sighed bleakly as he set the trunks down. "This, Evadne, is supposed to be our honeymoon. We've been married for 2 years and never had a proper time to ourselves, and now are you telling me I must start hammering and painting?"
"Well, Petros said there were no hotels, so we'd better make the best of it, hadn't we? Anyway, I bet it's beautiful inside." And in my eyes it already was.
The steps leading up to the front door were aged and weathered with brown, stringy weeds and yellowing grass pushing up through the cracks. Hugh resisted all my efforts of help and, scarlet-faced with exertion, struggled with insistent determination up step by slow step. As I crossed over the cracked and broken stones of the threshold, an oddly poignant flicker went through me. The day was bright with sun, but inside the large room that awaited me it was cool and dim. The rays spilling in at the windows on one wall cast an almost romantic light, so that for a moment or two the room, even with the sagging beams high in the ceiling and the cracked and broken white walls, seemed full of all the dreams I'd ever had, and I believe all those still to come. I waded through bits of straw, shredded birds' nests, and mountains of dust. Here were all the memories of lives lived to the full, and yet only the cicadas outside seemed alive.